Would you turn with me to the book of Jude? And we'll be reading the last two verses of the book of Jude. The glorious doxology that Jude ends with. Jude chapter 20, verse 24 and 25. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. God, help us to understand his word. Pray with me. Our Father, I ask that you would speak through your word this morning. What a glorious word that is. All has been read. We thank you, O God, that you showed in the Old Testament through this king, your great power to save, to secure. You are able to deliver your people both in the Old Testament and now we who are in the New Testament. We thank you, O God, that Romans 8 promises glorious and wonderful promises to us, that you'll never leave us nor forsake us. Many of your people a burden this morning for both themselves and for others. We pray that your word would speak to our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. When I became a new Christian, that was a long, long time ago, they had me doing everything. And of course, I was so excited about my new faith, I was willing to do everything. One of the things was to be involved in a VBS, Vacation Bible School. And I'm not one for what I call ditties, these little catchphrases that you sing over and over and over again. But I was a young Christian then, and they wanted to sing, "He is able." It ended with, "I know my Lord is able to carry me through." Now, as I said, I'm not a favorite of little choruses like that, but as a babe in Christ, theologically ignorant, it made sense to me as I read my Bible. Well, I've been a pastor now for 50 years, and I'm winding down, as it were, my public ministry little by little. I can't think of a more wonderful text to preach on. The book of Jude is only, it's not even a chapter long, 25 verses long. And Jude, of course, was the brother, half-brother of Jesus Christ. But he didn't look at it that way. He starts out, Jude, a servant or a bond slave of Jesus Christ and brother of James. So he was in his humility acknowledging that James, who was also the half-brother of Jesus, was his brother. He was concerned. He tells us in the beginning of his short letter here that he was concerned for the church, the young church, the early church, as we should be concerned about the church today. He wanted to write to them and glory in the faith that they had. But he was concerned when he heard all kinds of rumors and the situations in the churches that there were people that came in and caused a lot of trouble, taught a lot of wrong things, confused the people. And so he spent his entire section or his letter on this issue. And he comes to the end. And he leaves us with this wonderful benediction, this doxology, really. And basically, it's, "I know my Lord is able to carry us through." The little but vital letter of Jude closes with one of the most marvelous benedictions in the Bible. One, very, very often I use it for just that fact. Jude's been raging against these false and evil leaders in the church that assimilated the church in the wrong direction. They were going to bring disharmony to the body. And well, you say, we don't have that kind of thing today. Well, one of the reasons why Pastor is going to go to General Assembly is because every year there's something like that that it comes up in all the presbyteries. So I assure you that General Assembly is not a party. I haven't gone to all of them, but I've been to 10 or 12 of them. And every one of them, there was all kinds of issues that came up and all kinds of people that would try to lead the church astray. Jude now invokes the tenderest of God's care upon his readers. The benediction means a great deal. And I've kind of listed some of the things that we ought to be aware of. These are not my points, but initially. It's a very appropriate benediction because it calls on the one who is able. It's a hopeful benediction because it anticipates God's ability to keep his church without blemish. It's a positive benediction because there's a note of joy in it. And in the light of all this negative that Jude has laid out to the church, it's a loyal benediction in that its owner, Jesus Christ, is Lord. And Jude is faithful to him. It's an authoritative benediction in that it rests on the dominion of God in all times to come. So this is a wonderful benediction, I believe. I want us to look at the text very simply. There's nothing simple here, but it's profound. But it's in a sense, these are simple words that even children can understand. Now, to him who's able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority both for all time and now forevermore. First, see with me the danger scene here when he says, keep you from falling. Now, we're thrilled that we are Reformed. I hope you are anyways. I became Reformed a long time ago after being Arminian for a number of years as a Christian and even as a student in Bible college, as I was an older fellow. The Westminster Confession tells us, and we don't want to be deceived, that we can fall away. And often people do fall away. But Westminster is very careful to say that you can't, if you're one of God's elect, you can't fall away to the point of eternally. That God will bring you back. So if you're struggling with your faith, don't give up. Trust in him. Let's consider the number of things against the Christian in his or her life. Think about as you live for Christ day by day. Think about the world, the flesh, and the devil. We don't want to, as Americans, we don't want to think like that. We want to be able to get up in the morning and maybe pray and read the scripture. And then off we go and kind of rule our day and then come back at night and maybe thank him for it. We don't think of the fact that all the powers of hell are against us. And that we live in the flesh. And that flesh is always warring against the spirit. And the world that constantly sets itself against us in a thousand ways. We don't want to think like that every day. But as you pray in the morning, you need to think of it. We need to think of that. That all hell, and within our own selves, and the world around us is against what we're about to go out for to serve him each day. All these powers are against us. In Romans 8, 28 through 39 lays out how much is against us, as we read this morning. The believer, think of all that power and authority that's against every believer. Think of the malice of our enemies. I don't know if you, how many of you have got a MyPillow that's advertised everywhere. You can't watch Fox without memorizing the MyPillow thing. But this man is a Christian. I think he's a Pentecostal, but he's a believer in Christ. And so he bragged on it. He even made a mistake and said he voted for Trump. Just like that, all of these big box stores, all these from Walmart to Target, all of these shut his pillows right down. They didn't want them anymore. Shut them right down. And now he says even the banks are doing this to him. All because of his relationship to Jesus Christ, and he brags on that. Now, that's how the world pulls you into its mold and drives you crazy with its foolishness. And we won't even get into all the stuff that's going on now in our country, but so much is against you. So much is against you. But we have a God who keeps us from falling. Even when we have to walk in very slippery places in our lives, we are at the same time full of obstacles, but full of great weaknesses. There are many obstacles in our paths. Our youth, our busyness, our older age, our handicaps, the diseases that we get, both physical and spiritual. We have to walk in slippery places, beloved. Indeed, all of this is overwhelming, and you know you've been overwhelmed. I have. Unless the next point is realized. Secondly, in Job's benediction here, we see the presentation of which the believer, the preservation in which the believer is subject to. He is able to keep you from falling. Yes, Christ is able to keep us from falling away. He does this by the power of God, his resurrection power. He uses his promises to his people to confirm what he promised by the power of the living God. What he says in his word, he means. And we prove that as we go through life, time and again, through affliction and troubles. Through the merit of his redeeming work in fulfilling and filling up the law of God and becoming the sinner's substitute for sin, he preserves his people through his glorious means of grace. Don't ever take that grace in a wrong way. He gave us through prayer the power of the Word of God, being part of the glorious body of Christ, the church. And that's important. The body of Christ, you being part of the body of Christ, is so fundamental. You know, when Nan and I retired, you know, what do you do when you've been pastor in the church and formed it for 37 years? Most of the churches that were there when we came are gone. What should we do? We knew about this church, and I knew some of the fellas, and Nan knew some of the gals. And that's why we came right to here. Why? Because the body of Christ is important. It doesn't make any difference how many years you've been in the ministry or what kind of degrees you got or anything else. We need the body of Christ. We're part of the body. Christ is the head. The body is the body of Christ. The glorious body of Christ. Be attentive to the fellowship and the works of service. All these stand guard over our lives to keep us in the love of God. That's God's intention for the body. And oh, never, never forget that glorious person in Jesus. Yes, he abides in you through his Holy Spirit. Don't take that for granted, ever. He came into your life and my life while you were dead in sin. He made you alive. When I was running a business in Mansfield, Massachusetts, these days the batteries are totally different, but we'd get the batteries in and they were nothing but plastic. They were just plastic thing. Then you pour the acid in and then you charged it and it came alive. You could have had 100 batteries with no charge or no acid and they were useless. Just plastic. Meaningless. And yet you did the other, they came alive and they'd start to talk. Life is like that as Christians. He made you alive. You were dead in sin. Do you really believe that this morning? I have to believe that in my life. I know me, sort of. And what I know, I don't like. Even after 55 years of being a Christian, there's always something. While you were dead in sin, he made you alive. Colossians says in verse 2:13, you were dead in your sin. You have been quickened, made alive together with him, having forgiven you of all the trespasses. Now that Holy Spirit lives in your life. He lives there in your life this morning. Now Colossians 2:20 says, wherefore, if you be dead with Christ, what? From the rudiments of the world. All the wonderful work of the Holy Spirit within us to show us all of what the world is all about. All of this wonderful action is geared to the preservation of every believer. Now, went to him who is able to keep you from falling. You're not on your own. What wonderful words these are. I hope you take them to heart like I do. And then thirdly, we see the final presentation. That's what it's all about. To present you faultless in the presence of his glory. This isn't just about church. If that's all you think it is, then it's Paul said, if that's all we have is what we got here, then it's all most miserable. No, no, no. Look at these wonderful words of solemnity and grandeur. Grandiose. What an occasion will be in that day. Look carefully at the glorious condition of each of the objects of God's preservation. To present you faultless before his presence of his glory. To be presented faultless. No shame, no guilt. Oh, you don't know, Pastor, what I did when I was a kid. Oh, yeah, I know. Huh. How do you walk away with for 23 years using the name of Jesus blasphemously? And then you come to know him as Savior. I live with that. Even though I know I'm forgiven. What about you? What about your stuff? No shame, no guilt, dressed in glorious array, provided by our Savior, his royal robe of righteousness, unharmed, untattered by time and trial, all standing spotless. What a glorious picture it'll be. Finally, see the reaction from both the saved and the Savior at that presentation time, right here in our text. With exceeding joy. With exceeding joy. To the only God our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority for all time and now and forever. Those will be words that we will glory in more than we ever do now. With exceeding joy, he says. Joy is very elusive. You hear it, everything from drinking Coke, you'll find joy in that. It's just the strangest thing, the way the world uses this word. No matter how much money you have, joy is not for sale. The world knows all about fun. It knows all about pleasure. It knows all about gladness. But it knows nothing of joy. Joy is a special experience that God has given his people. You can't go to a park somewhere. You know, where Agawam has that amusement park. Oh, you don't find joy there. You may find pleasure, and although I don't get any pleasure going up to this, up 150 feet and then run down. No thanks. I got enough anxiety. I don't need to live with that. That always blows my mind. I'm going to go to that. I got enough anxiety. I don't need that stuff. I certainly don't find joy there. And for the believer there, there'll be no joy here like that joy when we stand victoriously on that day when we are presented to God by our Lord Jesus Christ before his glorious presence. He who took our place now stands in for us before our Father, and he says, enter into the joy of the Lord. And praise goes to Jesus, who has all the power, the majesty, and the authority for all time and eternity. There we will stand without blemish because of his righteousness, his full atonement for our sins. We'll stand without blemish. Joy. Joy will flood our souls on that great day. We know a little bit about joy, don't we? There'll be times when you're in prayer or something will happen, or you're just filled with this sense of, it's hard to explain what joy is, but it's an elation, a spiritual elation. But that day, when we hear enter into the joy of life, we'll be overcome with joy. And that's what Jude is trying to tell us here. In this word, joy, in this world, it can be evasive at times. It can come and go in the believer's life. But in that world, joy will be the order of the day. The believer will be so overwhelmed as to how the Savior kept him or kept her in all of life's bitter trials. And many of you that are older, I know Nan and I can get our page full of various trials that will come through our lives. But Jesus has brought us through all of them. The Puritan Thomas Manton was right when he said, a gracious heart has such a sense of God's worth and perfection that it would have all things that are honorable and glorious ascribed to him. So that's why many words are used here. When we have done our utmost, we come up short. For God's name is exalted above all blessings and above all praise. Yet, says Manton, it is good to do as much as we can of that praise. Love to God ever now, even now. Never mind on that great day. We'll not be satisfied with a little praise. We will praise him yet more and more in his kingdom that has no end as we discover more and more throughout eternity about his perfections. Listen to me this morning. It's a sign of a cold, unbelieving heart to be lacking in that sort of praise. When we think of God, it's a relief to the soul to consider his glory, his majesty, his dominion and power. One of the things that struck me in an eye when we came here was the worship service that took place here. We still believe that. There's a sense of awe here. There's a sense of glory here when we worship. The hymns, the prayers, all of that. There's a marvelous sense here of beauty. And that just drew us. So keep praising Him and glorying Him. When we think of God, it's a relief to the soul to consider His glory and His majesty, His dominion and power. It really is not about how much you've done throughout your life, really. It really isn't. Nan and I have had wonderful ministry through the years, and God has blessed us in so many ways, seeing many people come to Christ. But I'm retired now. I still share, but compared to what I was out there, it's a lot different. But it's still a wonderful thing to serve the Lord. Pray for your pastor. It looks so simple, the ministry. It's not, I assure you. All hell is against a faithful pastor and his wife. Understand that. All hell is against the good elders. And you have four beautiful men and their wives faithfully serving you. Don't take that for granted. I can say that as an old man. But it's true. It's amazing how God keeps bringing you through. Bringing you through. As a church or individually. A long while ago, as I think about it, one of my parishioners, she was a young Christian, and she was alone. And she had to have an operation on her back. And the doctor told her, he said, you know, you're going to be a few days in the hospital, and then you're going to have to go 2 or 3 weeks in rehab, and it won't be pleasant. So I brought her over and prayed with her, and then she called me up the next morning. And she said, Al, will you come and get me? I thought, uh-oh, what happened? Cat blew a fuse or something, and got the doctors angry, and they threw her out. No. She says, unbeknown to the doctor, he was sending her home that day, the next day, because she was fine. Now, that may not be a big deal for you and I, but Pat dreaded this. She feared it terribly. She didn't think she could make it through. But she made it through the next day. And she's been fine ever since. That to me was amazing. God keeps His people. You have your own stories. He knows our limits. Pat grieved over having to go through rehab and spend all that time there. Oh, our God deserves our every praise. True saints, believers, have much larger desire for God's glory as we express it from day to day and night to night as God brings us through things. And then there's you. If you're here in this Christian assembly this morning, you don't know the first thing about praise to God. It's also foreign to you, like it was to me many years ago. It's so because it's in spite of what you might think and assess about your life, you have never been born again by the Spirit of God. You've never experienced the joy like the joy Jude talks about in verse 24 and 25 and writes about. Because Christ is not yours and you are not Christ. He came from glory and took upon Himself human nature. He lived a holy life for 33 years here among a world that hated the light for Him. And it still hates Christ. I'm amazed as I go along and chat with people and, they're really full of conversation. Until I mentioned something about Christ. can talk about Buddha, we can talk about Miami, anything, but not about Christ. This week we're going to take one of our neighbors out. We've taken her out 2 or 3 times and shared Christ with her. She is a talker. Man, she can talk your ear off. But bring up Christ, and you're the only one talking. The world still hates Christ. He went to Calvary as the Lamb of God in the sinner's stead, and there he took our sin upon himself. He who knew no sin became sin for us. That is, he who knew no sin carried our sin to Calvary and suffered the pangs of hell for sinners such as we are. God laid our sin upon Christ there. And with his stripes we are healed. What a Savior. True believers will never stop praising him for eternity. You there. Is God calling you by his Holy Spirit? Come to God through Christ. I don't know why you're here this morning. It doesn't make any difference. But you're in the presence of God and his people. And I call you by the power of God to come to Christ. Come to God through Christ. Repent of your sin and trust in him alone. May this marvelous benediction and the truth that lays in those words become a reality to you as you get closer and closer to eternity. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Pray with me. Oh God, our Savior, I thank you for your mercy. And if there be one here this morning that does not know you in a saving way, we ask that you would speak to that heart, Holy Spirit, and draw that one. Draw that one to the cross. Draw that one to where he or she realizes for the first time that he or she sins against God every day in every way and has broken all the commandments time and time again. Holy Spirit, enable them to see that Christ and his righteousness and his life taken to Calvary's cross, help that one to turn to Christ and call upon you to repent and to believe the gospel for the first time. It's good news. It's full of joy. Christ has died for sinners. Hallelujah. We ask, Father, that you would bless your people this morning. May we never forget. May we never forget him who is able to keep us from stumbling, and that he will present us blameless before his presence of his glory with great joy. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.